Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. The Word of God says in verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, the Word of God says that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, the head of Christ is God. The head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Ladies, by the way, this is why it's very important that you properly go about the way that you relate to men. Because the head of the woman is a man. And you will not be able to help yourself because of the way you are made. Not because of any flaw in you, but because of the way you are made. You will not be able to help but to respond to the man. Why? Because the head of the woman is the man. So there is a divine order that is built into us as human beings, whereby a woman is made to be responsive to the initiations of a man. This is why women have to be extremely careful in the way that they receive from men and in the way that they befriend men. That is vital. Women should never spend time alone with an unsaved guy, because they are going to be initiated to from the opposite kingdom, whether they want to be or not. Whether they tell themselves ahead of time, "I'm not going to respond," they are going to respond. You cannot go against your design. You cannot do that any more than an automobile can fly. You cannot go against your design. If you see a car flying, something went dreadfully wrong. You cannot go against your design. So ladies, be careful. We have the best ladies in the world. I think these our ladies have wonderful hearts, wonderful purity of heart and thought, but nevertheless designed the way that God made women to be. So ladies, guard your heart when it comes to your relationships, the casual relationships with men, even the casual ones, because you cannot help but to respond. The head of Christ is God. Christ is the head of man. The man that it's talking about there is the saved man. The unsaved man has no head. By the way, I don't know why this is coming so strongly. If you are married, and this is really for the internet, because the ladies we have here are wonderful this way. But if you are listening on the internet and you are a woman, then your husband is your head. Your husband is your head. By the way, ladies, no man is your head until you are married to him. Until such time, you are under the covering of your pastor teacher if you are adult. You're under the covering of your biological father if he is a Christian, if you are underaged. And the husband, not a boyfriend, a fiance, a casual association, not some guy you like. The husband is your head. If a woman doesn't honor the headship that is in her life, she will have no headship. If a woman is married, she must understand that the husband is her head. This culture attacks the headship of men. Television attacks the headship of men. Why? So that there is no headship. It is up to the woman, not up to the man, to maintain the headship of her husband. The husband is given that role. He becomes her head by voluntary submission. The husband is given that place. That is the order of things. There is nothing that needs to be done so long as he is a man of God. Not a perfect man, but a man of God. He is the head of his wife. If the wife tries to be the head of the husband, then order is violated, there is no covering, and the family is open to demonic initiations. So we have to be careful in these relationships that are being so muddied by today's culture, even within Christianity. The husband must have his head be Christ. If the husband is not yielded to Christ within the family, if the husband yields to his wife and not to Christ within the family, then the family has no head. Every husband, listen to this on the internet, every husband must learn to be properly yielded and submitted entirely, wholeheartedly, without reservation to the will of God and not to the will of his wife or his children. If he yields to anything other than that, there is no headship in that family. If there is no headship in that family, it is uncovered and it is open to satanic initiations. So you have two people within a family not yielding so much to each other, but yielding to the order that God has ordained, so that the proper anointing of God can flow from the head to the shoulders to the body, so that the body can be covered within the family unit. If the husband doesn't know how to be submitted to Christ, then the wife must be submitted to Christ and honor her husband as the head, so long as he is not in disagreement with God. The moment he comes into disagreement with God, she yields and honors to Christ, honors her husband as best she can, responds to him as best she can, but not putting him ahead of the Savior. However, if the husband is properly yielded to Christ, then she yields to him without reservation. When he decides, she doesn't argue. When he is led, she doesn't say, "I don't know about that." She doesn't agree with him so long as what he proposes from God is in agreement with her flesh. And so long as what he proposes from God is in fact from God, then she is a helpmate in his calling. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are single, make sure you define your call before you consider a spouse. Why? Because if your call is not the same call as that of your spouse, you will not only not be a helpmate to your spouse, one of you will be leaving your call. This is serious stuff, this order that is within the body of Christ. The problems that we have today in much of Christianity are at least in part attributable to the fact that the order that is in Christ has been violated. And because that order is violated, there is room given to the enemy within the body. Because the order is often violated within families, there is room given to the enemy within families. Within families, no one must ever finger point, because they are taking on the ministry of Satan in Revelation 12:10. A man cannot say, "I didn't because of my wife." A man who says, "I didn't because of my wife," God is going to ask him at the Bema seat, "What happened to the headship that was me?" A woman must never hide behind her husband. A woman cannot say to herself, "Well, my husband is my head, therefore all responsibility falls on his shoulders." A woman cannot say that any more than a Christian can say, "I can be disobedient to Christ because Christ is my head." These things are God's divine order. That divine order was given for the proper function of the things that were ordained by God, but not only for the proper function, but also for the proper protection of believers in an angelic conflict. We have to be careful about that. Learn to walk with God, young people, before you try to walk with a person. If you cannot learn to hear from God, or if you have not learned how to hear from God yet, how will you ever hear from Him for the vital decisions of your life? So learn to hear from God first. And if you need to make a decision and you have not learned how to hear from God first, but you need to make a decision, you have no other way around it, then go to the proper covering. The covering that has been ordained by God as your protection, and the covering that will receive witness from God regardless of whether you learn how to hear from Him or not. So as believers, we need to get our lives in order, because our lives depend on that order. Show me somebody who's not properly submitted, and I'll show you somebody who lives in a great deal of anxiety. Why? Because there is no provision. God has established a provision, and that provision is within the order. And so we live within the order that God has established, and it provides for us provision, protection, definition. It provides for us all the things we need of our lives in order to be able to get along with the people in our lives and live before God. That's not today's message. The head of every man is Christ. Today we're going to talk about what it means, and we're going to continue in our message, in our series of messages about the character of God, what it means that Christ is the head. What it means that Christ is the head. We often think of Christ as the head as simply someone I yield to, as simply someone who is like the general, and the general is the head of that that section of the military. Christ is not the head in the same way, although we do yield to Him. But that's not entirely what it means when the Word of God says that Christ is the head of the church. The portion about the head of the church is that He loved her and gave Himself for her. That is what makes Christ the head. That He loved her and gave Himself for her. Now, when Christ gave Himself for her because He loved her, something happened. The believer, when he became a believer, was changed. He was not only changed in as much as he was forgiven, he was made a new creature, a new organism. He is no longer flesh and blood, but He is spirit, soul, and body. Prior to being saved, He was not spirit, but He is spirit, soul, and body. And so when Christ saved the believer, when He died on the cross and washed us in His blood, something changed in the humanity that received that provision from Him. And it wasn't merely a forgiveness of sins, and it wasn't merely the opportunity to go to heaven. It was much more than that. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 7. In verse 4, the Word of God says, "You are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." By the body of Christ, you are dead to the law. What does this mean? This means not just the Mosaic law, not just the Levitical laws. This means anything that is produced in the natural effort, Whether it is on the good side of the tree of knowledge or on the evil side of the tree of knowledge. It was the tree of knowledge that was given prohibition, not the good side or the evil side. So in anything that I try to align with that tree of knowledge, that is the very thing that I lived by, that I was connected to. I was in union with it before I was saved. Anything that was of the tree of knowledge, whether it was sin or whether it was religious production, anything, that was what I was aligned with. That was what I was connected to. But in the body of Christ, I am dead to that tree of knowledge. Now, it didn't say that through the cross. It said in the body of Christ. That means that the cross produced something far greater than the forgiveness of sins, although obviously it did produce the forgiveness of sins. It produced something that changed the essence of who a believer is. It made Christ head. What is a head? A head is a portion of the body. And that portion of the body is where the life initiation toward that body comes from. Even the life functions of the body do not come from the heart, they come from the head. The heart simply responds to the involuntary impulses that are sent by the head. So even then, I cannot be separated from my head. Why? Because in the body, I am delivered from the law. Why? That you should be married to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead. What did the cross perform? What did it do? What did the blood of Christ do? It was the very blood of Christ that made me the body of Christ. I wasn't simply the same man changed, remade. I wasn't simply the same man who had part of him erased and connected as though through some umbilical cord to a greater force, if you will, or a greater life, but still the same man. When the believer got saved, he was in fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creature. He was not the same creature cleaned up. He became a new creature. And the creature that he became is Christ. He was not the head of Christ. He will never be the head of Christ. God is the head of Christ. But he is the body of Christ. Without the body of Christ, there is no expression of Christ. And therefore, what we became when we became new creatures was a new body. This is why the Word of God can say that all things are in fact passed away. That all things are in fact made new. This is why God can say, I remember your sins no more, and though your sins were as scarlet, I have made them as driven snow. Why? Because you have died with Christ in Galatians 2:20. When you were crucified not as a theology. You were crucified as a practical reality because you live in a spirit world that has a tangible component. We are extremely oriented to the tangible component. But too frequently we are extremely disoriented to the spirit world. If a believer cannot grasp that alongside of this world, the tangible touch-see world, within even the same room, there is a whole other component to the world that we live in, then the believer will never be able to grasp who he is. is why the world goes around saying, know yourself. Why? Because they don't know who they are. They don't have a clue apart from Christ, and nor can they. Why? They have no head. Have you ever seen a man try to think without a head? It's usually like a chicken running around. It can respond through impulse reflex, through impulse responses, but it cannot think. The believer who lives apart from the head responds through impulse responses, but cannot think. That is the believer who will respond in their emotions, who lives by their emotion. That is the believer who responds to their circumstances without the ability to think their way through them with the Word of God, because they have the mind of Christ. That believer responds in impulse responses. For that believer, whatever is being initiated is their life. That is the extent of it. That is their experience. Why? There is no head. But like a woman who submits to her husband, when I choose to submit to my head as a member of the body, then I can think. Then I have the mind of Christ. Then it's not my will, but thine be done, because there is no such thing as my will. Then the union with the Savior is so complete that my will is His will. That the desires I have are the desires of God. Not because I work it up, but because I have His mind. The thoughts that I have are the thoughts of God, not because I work them up, not because I try to rehearse Scripture in my mind 3 times a day so that somehow perhaps I can do something with it. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with it. But simply because I have the mind of the Savior. Yes, we need doctrine. Yes, we need it in categories. But we need that heart that mixes faith with what we've heard, so that we can have a proper submission to the headship, so we can have thoughts. Before that, all we have is impulses. But genuine thinking cannot take place apart from a head. And so we have thoughts that come from God, because that is the only source of thoughts that are rooted in reality, that are rooted in truth, that actually exists. So when we properly submit ourselves, then the thoughts of God flow. They come from the Holy Spirit's initiation to the human spirit, and then the human spirit initiates them to the human soul. When that happens, I know how to think, not because I strive, but because I have a mind. A lot of people say, think for yourself. With what? Think for myself with my arm? Think for myself with my emotions? Think for myself with electrical impulses? The only person who genuinely knows how to think for himself is the Spirit-filled believer who has a mind. So when I have a mind, I'm actually capable of intelligent thought. So yes, think for yourself. And have the provision that came from God to do so. People often say, think for yourself, when they mean just the opposite. Don't think. Respond to impulses. If I have the mind of God, then Christ is my head. If Christ is my head, I know how to think. If I know how to think, I know how to decide. If I know how to decide, I'll know what to do. If I know what to do, I'll develop the proper habits. If I develop the proper habits, I have the life of God. In a practical, experiential, tangible existence that has its proper connection to the other half of what there is. We are way too oriented to just the tangible. We are way too oriented to just the tangible. This is why the world will never understand a Spirit-filled believer. Because the world lives a half-life with no wit. Because they live in half a world, produce only a biological life, and no mind to think with. And unfortunately, a believer who is not properly yielded to the order of God is no different in their experience than the world. Though that believer will go to heaven when they die, they have no power from God, they don't have the life of the head, they don't have the thoughts from the mind of the Savior, and they are left with nothing but impulse response. When I have the mind of God, I have the life of God. Because the life comes from the head. And while the body has a heart that is capable of beating biologically, because it has those autorhythmic cells, self-initiating impulses, the control of those impulses does not exist apart from the involuntary portions of the brain controlling the heart. I can't breathe without my brain. And though I may be a physically living organism, without the mind of God, I don't have any life. I am nothing more than a spiritual vegetable. When Christ died, when the blood was shed, we were made into the body of Christ. He became head. We were made into the body of Christ. But we were not made merely into the body of Christ. We were made into much more. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21, the Word of God says, "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man." Now, it doesn't say out of the rib he made her. He said the rib became the woman. "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Why did this happen? I find it interesting that earlier in the same chapter, the Word of God said that God says it's not good for a man to be alone, and he created animals, and they were to be his helpmate. But that was not the helpmate that God had intended for the man. The helpmate that God had intended for the man came out of the man. Part of that man became a woman. This is exactly how it works with the believer and the Savior. In John 19:33, "But when they came to Jesus and saw he was dead already, they break not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. Forthwith came out blood and water." The physical, biological woman was made out of a rib from the side. But the rip from the side needed a transformation. The woman was not made out of a rib. The rib became a woman. Likewise, when the blood and the water flowed out of the side of the Savior, the blood and the water turned the woman, the body of Christ, into bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh related to God. She became His body. The woman is the body of the man. The church is the body of Christ, but more. When God made the woman, He gave her unto Adam in the first institution that was established. He gave her to him as a wife. When the body was transformed, the body became a bride. So by the death, we are the body. By the blood and the word, we are the bride. So when Christ died, He didn't just die for my sins. He died to make me an entirely new creature. He died to make me His body, just like a woman is out of the man's body. I came out of His body. And it wasn't the rib that had already taken place. It was the blood and the word. So now I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. I have the life of God, but I don't merely have the life of God. I am now the bride of Christ. And that has taken place through a metaphysical transformation that will have practical, tangible manifestation at the rapture, where the body is, in fact, the bride. Do you understand? You are not merely people walking around who were one way at one point, received Christ and became religious. That doesn't even resemble what it's about. You are literally the body of Christ, the body of God the Son, and that body has been cleansed by the blood and the word, and in that cleansing, the disguise of who you were was washed away to reveal who you actually are, and that is the bride of the Savior. We were born as a bride when the side was pierced. We were born as a body when the Savior slept on the cross. The water and the word made us the bride. In 1 Corinthians 11:8, for the man is not out of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power over on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. All things belong to God. Do you realize what this is saying? This is saying that just like a man cannot live without a woman, nor the woman without the man, there can be no practical expression of Christ without the body, and the body can have no expression of Christ without the head. This means that God didn't just create you because He desired you, which is true, but in order for there to be an expression of who He is, God needs the woman. God needs the bride. God needs the body of Christ. And without that body of Christ being in proper relation with the head's life will never be able to pour out of the body, and that body will never be a manifestation of who God is. But when a believer is Spirit-filled, when a believer in his practical experience applies the blood to his own life, to his own understanding, mixes faith with the word that he receives, that believer receives a transformation from human to bride of God, to divine. How is it that we can be seated above in heavenly places at the right hand of God? In Christ. Because we are His body. How is it that we can be the bride? Because we have been perfected through the blood and the word, so we are a helpmate. God said, Adam needs one like him. Christ desired one like him. But none like him could exist. And so in came the initiation of the government of God, whereby God took that which could not be and made it to be. In other words, God took what He created, transformed it into something living, and then transformed it into something divine. Because God was not created, but man was. God took which was created and gave it an uncreated life. And in that act, we became more than just human. And though we are human biologically, and we will never be more than that until we go home to be with the Lord, but there is a component of man that is not just biology. We are very much like the firstborn among many brethren. We are just like Christ was. And this is why we are told that as He is, so are we in this present world. Because Christ was a man who was indwelled by divinity, we are men who are indwelled by divinity. The body of Christ is indwelled by the essence of who He is, just like the body of a human is indwelled by the essence of what the human is. But the human who is saved, who is blood bought, has the Godhead bodily dwelling in his soul. So the fullness of God dwells within a man, and we are, in fact, the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are not just human. We are indwelled by God. And the shell is human, but the indwelling is divine. The bride had to be like God, because Adam needed one who was as himself. The bride has to be like God. How can a bride possibly be like God? It's very simple. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 11:12, I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin. This was the pastoral role of the apostle toward the Corinthians. I have espoused you to one husband so that you may, in fact, be presented as a chaste virgin. You have been espoused to the Savior. How were you espoused to the Savior? By the blood and the word. It's by the blood and the word that you are the bride. It's by the blood and the word that you have been purchased the dowry was the blood of Christ. In 1 Peter 1:18 to 19, the dowry was the blood of Christ. This is how He purchased us to be a bride. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What does that mean? Let God be manifested in your body, because you are of His essence. In 1 John 2 and verse 9, the Word of God said, He that saith is in the light, and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. How do I glorify God in my body? I live in the light. How do I live in the light? I live by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You see, in Matthew 25:40, whatsoever I do to the least of these, I do it unto God. So as the bride loves her groom, the body of Christ loves one another, because whatsoever we do to the least of these, we do it unto God. If we love one another, who is it that we are loving if we are the bride and we love the body? We are loving the Savior. So this is why Jesus said this new commandment, as I have loved you, you love one another. This is paraphrased, essentially saying, as I have loved you, through one another, love me. This is why He said the first and the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God, and the second one is like it. Love your neighbor. Because the second one is simply an expression of the first one. The second one is how we effectualize the first one. The second one is how we manifest the first one. So we function as the bride of Christ because we are indwelled by the Word, cleansed by the blood, redeemed by the Spirit, and we are reconciled through Christ. And what happens then? Then we have the fullness of a life of God with an intimate union with our head, who is also our spouse. You see, God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of the church. Just like the man is the head of the woman. When God became my head, I became His bride. When God gave Himself for me, I became His body. Do you see the significance? Do you understand? This is who we are. This is who the body of Christ is. The Word of God says in Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Dead works are not simply religious works, although they encompass religious works. Dead works are anything apart from the head. How often, and how many believers, and so many of them do, have this consciousness that they have to somehow be some way, produce something, do something. This is a consciousness, but it is purged by the blood of Christ. My self-image is entangled in this if I live in this. So God didn't just produce Himself a bride. God produced Himself a bride with a consciousness of her groom, not a consciousness of her performance, but a consciousness of a groom and the love that God has for her. And in Ephesians 4:22, put off concerning the former conversation, that's the lifestyle of the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. By the word and the blood, not only do I have the right consciousness, not only am I transformed in the way that I relate to Him, but I am renewed in the spirit of my mind. My thinking has transformed from the spirit of the world to the spirit of God. God made Himself a bride who knows how to think with the thoughts of God. God made Himself a bride that knew His heart. God made Himself a bride that knew her groom. God made Himself a bride where there was intimacy and closeness and sweetness and oneness and union. God made Himself a bride who was just like Him with His thoughts and His mind. In Hebrews 4:10, the Word of God says, "For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged would have had no more consciousness of sins." We try to offer things somehow. We try to make ourselves righteous before God. But the Word and the blood purge me of the consciousness of sin. So not only now do I live in the consciousness of God, not only do I have oneness of thought, oneness of mind with my Savior, oneness of mind with my groom, not only do I have these things, I am completely purified even from the mental effects of sin. That means that the bride of Christ has been given a pure conscience, and pure thought, and pure life, and pure manifestation of a pure God in the thought life that then results in a practical manifestation. There is no condemnation to the bride. There is only the glory of God to the bride. In that life, in that purging, the thoughts and the reflections, not just the thinking, but the reflections of the bride became the reflections of God. In Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water." God gave Himself a bride whose consciousness was of Him. God gave Himself a bride who had the same mind as He did. God gave Himself a bride who had no impurity in her. God gave Himself a bride who has the same heart that God has. God gave Himself a bride who is one body with Him. When the Word of God says that Christ is the head of the church, that means that Christ is in the most intimate union with His bride. A union that transcends anything that humans can ever be. Although their relationship is to be a picture of Him. But He has gone into a oneness with someone who has fallen when He perfected them to be like Him. When Christ became my head, I became His body, I became His bride, and I became the practical expression of who He is. Amen.